La maudite des vieux chauds.
I have seen the dark shadows moving in the woods, and I have no doubt that whatever I have resurrected through this book is sure to come calling for me.
David, you look absolutely terrific, honestly. You've got like glue on.
This is where the worst begins. This is where we must stop. For beyond is the work of madness. The nightmare of insane murder and lingering death. Get inside and lock your doors. Close your windows. Someone is watching you. Someone is waiting for you. Someone wants to scare you to death.
This is Albert from the Tuesday Show. You're listening to the goddamn Dave Hill Show, now on a flipping Monday.
No. You're an angel witch. Are you there, Des? Oh, you're on mute. Off to an awesome start.
The role of Dave Hill. Yes.
There we go.
We're on brand, if nothing else.
It's, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way.
You know, don't want Dave to get too comfortable out there. He needs to come back and save us.
Correct.
What's happening, Dick? Chris?
Did you just call? You almost call me Dave?
I did. It's son of a bitch. It's force of habit.
I'm doing great. We have 40 people watching us right now. Hey, everyone! Thanks for tuning in.
Hope to keep them.
Yeah, we got to keep them without the man here.
Good to see everyone on the board.
Yeah,
the usual suspects.
So anyone tuning in tonight who doesn't know, this is the new fill-in show for whenever Dave can't make it to the Good Time Hour on Mondays at 8 p.m. So Des and I are just going to do our own thing in its place every Monday. Not every Monday at 8 p.m. I guess just, you know, when he can't make it.
Right.
This sounds like we're plotting to take over the show, but I promise you that's not the case.
No, it's a lot like back in the FMU days when Dave would be out gallivanting around the world. I'd be able to step in and spin some tunes for 3 hours and keep everything sort of, you know.
Oh, God, I forgot that show was 3 hours long.
It was brutal sometimes. Well, it worked out well the way it was formatted. Not formatted, but, you know, we had a casual start and Dave would play some tunes.
Yeah.
And then we'd have a guest in, usually at about 10, and then a musician would show up at about 11.
Yeah.
So, you know, it would go pretty quick. Those were fun shows, for sure. I'm glad I don't do them anymore.
I think that by the times I started coming in, I've only been in the studio a few times, but
right.
It was only 2 hours, right, by towards the end?
No, it was always three.
It was always three? Wow.
I think, did we try to do the first couple of these a full 3 hours?
No, I think we, maybe 2 hours. We might have done this for 2 hours and then shortened it to 90 and then we shortened it to an hour.
Yeah, we started calling it the Good Time Hour right out of the gate.
Right. Though. Of course. Dave does have a good excuse, though. He's on tour with Puddles, Pity Party right now, opening for him. And Eric Idle posted this picture.
That's a good get.
Idle with Dave and Puddles. It's just so mind-blowing. I'm so happy for both of them.
And for those that cannot see at home, Dave is still, of course, the best-dressed man in the world.
Yeah.
It's not even close this time. So.
But it's so cool. I think that was Saturday or Sunday. Eric Idle watched Dave Hill and then raved about him multiple times on Twitter.
And I don't want to speak for Dave, but I consider it a lifetime achievement when a friend of mine gets Eric Idle to simply retweet his name. Somebody asked, who's that other guy in the photo? And Idle retweeted that and just said, Dave Hill.
I know.
Didn't bother explaining who it's, you know.
So amazing.
So good for Dave.
Yeah.
Glad it's going well out there.
Congrats, Dave.
Absolutely.
I don't know where, I think all the shows they're doing right now are in California, but different, all different cities. I don't know where they are tonight, but that's why Dave didn't make it.
Right. An excused absence.
Callie Deb said, way cool picture of Dave and Puddles and the other guy.
Yes.
I wonder how many people know Dave and Puddles but wouldn't know Eric Idle. That's got to be a really small amount of people.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know.
It's a different generation for sure.
And, and Eric Idle doesn't, you know, he looks great. He looks great. I'm not saying anything, but he's not immediately recognizable on a quick glance.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Like, obviously, that's Eric Idle, but yeah, I see right. what you mean. It could also just be, you know, someone's dad or something.
Exactly. Like, due respect, you know. But he looks great, too. Absolutely. Hair looks good. He's got the color in the hair. That's all you can ask for at this stage of the game.
Hell yeah. Comedy royalty right there with Dave.
No question.
Same. How have you been, Dez?
We're good. We're good here, although just before we were getting started, we had that chicken issue that I was talking about last week.
Yeah.
With the
Has it worsened?
It seemed to be getting better over the weekend, but things have taken a turn recently.
Oh, no. So
chicken's being tended to right now. It's intense. I mean, there's no two ways about it. You know,
do you still have the picture on deck?
I don't think
if we want to threaten people into showing it.
I don't think I have it on. I could. We'll see how things are going. If we really need to stretch and fill some time, I can throw it on there, I suppose. But I don't want to I don't want to have that as a crutch this early on, because it's a bridge you cannot cross. Come back when you cross it.
People want to see it.
You know, I mean, you could put up another poll and give it a good 15 minutes. See if things have changed over the week.
I'm not even going to read this comment because it's too horrifying. But Game of Death.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
Yeah, no, that's not an option.
Oh, shit, I forgot our overlay. There we go. Now we got, instead of Lucy, we got... is that the chicken in question?
No, this is not the chicken in question.
Hold on, we got to switch places. There we go.
There you go. Yeah, that is that chicken. Sweet here, she's good. Her eggs that she lays, to be honest, are a little thin.
Oh, yeah.
They crack very easily. There's a calcium issue in her factory. You know, these are the perils of backyard chicken
ownership.
Chicken ranging. It's it gets real, and there's a lot of situational developments that you don't see coming. Me and Kim were just sitting in the yard, relaxing, gonna have make a couple quick hot dogs before the show started, and you go to put the chickens away and take a look, and
oh man,
we got a problem. So
what is it, just like hanging out or?
Yeah, it's bulging.
Oh god.
My hero of a wife is currently doing her best. Thank you, Kim.
Lord's work.
Yeah, I almost feel bad that I got to come here and hang out right now. It's one of those awkward moments. Yeah. You know, it's like
I got to do a live stream. You deal with it.
I got to go dick around for a while, for an hour. Good luck with what you got to do. But so,
oh boy,
here we are. Yeah, CL Doyle 63 is correct. You know, we do get the fresh eggs.
Yeah,
and I. You know, put three eggs down real quick as this was all going on. I needed to eat something before we got started here, so I just scrambled up a couple eggs. It's, you know, it's a self-contained problem, if nothing else. You know, how are you, Chris? What do you got going on this week?
I'm good. Just busy. We have the next Mads live stream tomorrow night.
Busy dumb industry week for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Shameless plug for that. Come see the Mads riff on a whole new batch of shorts tomorrow at 8 p.m.
Okay.
Yeah, that's going to be super fun. What else is going on? I don't know. It's been so rainy and dreary here the past week. I've like just been super depressed, but I actually got out today and walked around. So that
okay. Did you go check out the subway station over there? Did you go explore?
Yeah, I went to the infamous, what do they call it, cruising?
You went cruising over at the Forest Hills spot?
I actually did. I walked around Forest Hills Park, which was one of the other spots that Tracy Carnazzo mentioned being a cruising hotspot.
Is that not the park with the World's Fair?
That's Flushing Meadows.
That's Flushing Meadows Park.
Okay. Yeah. Forest Park is just kind of like it's great. It's just like a huge forest just in the middle of Queens. It's like one of the biggest parks in New York City outside of Central Park. And you can just hike around there and you feel like you're not in New York City. And I was doing those walks like almost every day for a while through the park. Uh-huh. And we had Tracy on and she mentioned that and it gave me like flashbacks of probably not witnessing any actual sex acts going on, but like
some interactions.
Flashbacks like, oh yeah, there's always like there's like overpasses where every now and then you'll just see a guy sitting there, and now it all made sense. It's like, oh, that's, you know,
just waiting.
But I got out today, walked around for a few miles, and I really gotta stay at myself and keep doing that, because otherwise I just sit inside indoors all day and like don't move, and I start getting like back pains and shit. I'm like,
yeah,
am I getting old? No, I have not left the couch in 2 weeks.
Well, that's happening too. You are getting older. And how old is the couch? You know, that doesn't help either.
It is actually, it's a relatively new couch. Okay. It's almost too comfortable though. It's a recline, one of those reclining couches.
I fucked up and the last week the TV fell off the wall down in the living room. I mounted it like an asshole.
Not the one right behind you.
Not this one. This one's fine. It was middle of the night, 3 a.m. And what sucks about that now is that we're not putting a TV back up there, at least for the immediate future, which means we're hanging out up here watching TV. And this couch up here sucks so bad. And it's hard to get out of. It kind of starts eating you up the longer you sit there. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of ways to hurt your back as we approach these certain ages here now, young man.
I keep hearing sitting is like the new smoking. Like, you shouldn't sit all the time.
That's a bit dramatic.
No, but I think, I mean, it kind of makes sense. Like, if you're just not active at all, like, yeah, your body's going to be shitty.
Maybe if you develop a good case of like shaken leg syndrome, then you know, at least you're burning some energy. You're doing something.
Yeah.
No?
No. No, I mean, I you know, I'll plant myself on the couch and just watch shit for hours at work. Like, I'll sit there with my laptop too, getting work done, but
getting things done, but you're not out in the world.
No, yeah. It's bad. The problem is, like, I used to have a friend that lived like within walking distance from here. We used to like go to movies and stuff and just meet up for lunch and stuff, and then he moved.
Uh-huh.
And like, I really don't know many people who I can just like around here who I can just say like, hey, like, just text them and say like, hey, you want to grab lunch? So for the most part, it's like I'm just here waiting for my wife to get home to have a few more human interaction.
Do you find, because my wife works from home too, and sometimes she says it's like she gets excited for me to come home just because it's something new to break up the afternoon. Does that work for you as well?
Oh yeah,
you start acting like the cat at the door.
Yeah, totally. And I find, you know, we'll have dinner usually right when she gets home. Like, I usually cook right before, and I cannot shut the fuck up for like 90 minutes because I haven't talked to anyone all day. Or I, like, you know, sometimes like I'll have a lot of meetings like this and stuff, but but most days that's not the case. And so like, it's literally, I have not opened my mouth. I haven't said a single word in like 17 hours.
Oh man. That's,
yeah. Adam Kakao said he had an AC falling from the window at 5 a.m. Holy crap.
I ran down the steps 3 a.m, just like my sleeping pants on. That's it. I'm like, who's in the house? Like, you know,
yeah.
You know, and I'm totally vulnerable at that point. I'm not going to get anything done. This is not going to go well, no matter how tough I think I need to be in that moment. And then I see the TV on the floor, and I'm just like, son of a bitch, this is my fault. And
you might have already said this. Did the TV break?
Oh, yeah. It hit something on the, it was mounted like on the wall with the mount, and stupidly said enough, and it caught something, and the corner got smashed, and it powered on, it had a picture underneath it all, but God. it was done.
Yeah, that sucks. And how old was it?
It's like 2 years old. It had a lot of miles left in it.
Damn.
You know, but
I've had the same TV for like 12 years. That's a good TV.
You know, it's a relationship. You look forward to developing and, you know, you go through a lot of things together.
Wait, Game of Depth says I had a strange dog jump through my bedroom window in my bed at 5 a.m.
That's why you got to sleep with at least the screen down or something.
You know, one of the most reminds me of one of the most horrifying moments of my life. Jen and I met in 05.
Okay.
And in 06, I got my first apartment with my college buddies, who I was also playing in a band with at the time. And it was a really, really tiny 3-bedroom apartment in Astoria. And my bedroom was the one that had the fire escape in the window.
High traffic area, yeah.
So, I mean, for the most part, you know, nothing ever happened. But my roommates would habitually forget their keys, and it would be out late, and they would start ringing the bell to let them in. And
it was your job.
Probably like one of the second or third nights, like Jen and I even spent together. You know, we're just sleeping in the bed, and I wake up to, I can't see who it is. I wake up to a figure crawling into my
window. Hi,
and, like,
how are you?
Just start screaming. I'm like, we're about to
hey killed. You just start making noise, yeah, just like.
And then he gets out, you know, the curtain, he gets out from behind the curtain, and he's like, sorry. And he's like, oh, it's just Mike being an idiot.
This is like the beginning of a Friends episode or something. You're living in there, Chris.
Yeah,
that's nice.
No, it was absolutely horrifying. The best part was my other friend trying to blame me for that, like it was my fault for not waking up hearing them ring the doorbell at 3 a.m. or whatever it was.
You know, there is something to that, perhaps. If you're the guy, you're on point.
It's like, that's my punishment. I have to wake up in horror thinking me and my girlfriend are going to be killed.
Yeah, my first place, my bedroom didn't even have a door. It was like a, you know, some sliding, you know, piece of crap that was like off the dining room. I was like 19 years old. It was that kind of house. The traffic was brutal coming through. I'm just trying to sleep, and here comes everybody.
That's horrible.
You know,
that's the only apartment that I lived in with roommates. Someone, C.L. Doyle 63, said another good reason to never have roommates. Like, a year later, Jen and I found our own place, and
there you go.
And it's been that ever since. And yeah. I cannot be, I hear roommate horror stories like constantly.
Yeah, I never had anything particularly brutal, but I mean, some awkward shit as you're living with people and their peculiarities, but nothing that made me feel, you know, that somebody was going to get hurt somewhere.
Max Fun Drive is just around the corner.
2022.
Starting April 25th, it's the best time of the year to support your favorite shows by becoming a MaxFun member or upgrading your membership.
In just 2 weeks.
We've got some great episodes and amazing thank you gifts in store. And who knows, maybe a few surprises.
Don't forget bonus content.
So make sure to tune in starting Monday, April 25th to get all the juicy details on what each show has in store.
Actually, wait, what are the details anyway? Why are they juicy? That's kind of a strange adjective to describe details.
Look, it's a rough world out there, especially lately. I get it. So let's take care of our minds as best we can. I'm John Moe, host of Depression Mode with John Moe. Every week, I talk with comedians, actors, writers, musicians, doctors, therapists, and everyday folks about the obstacles that our world and our brains throw in front of us. Depression, anxiety, traumatic stress, all those mental health challenges that are way more common and more treatable than you might think.
The first time I went to therapy, I was so ashamed, and I was like, can't believe I gotta go into therapy. Like, I thought I could be a man, and Humphrey Bogart was never in therapy. And then my dad said, yeah, but he smoked a carton of cigarettes a day.
Give your mind a break, give yourself a break, and join me for Depression Mode with John Moe.
We got a lot of stories from people tonight about things falling down in the middle of the night.
Why is it always in the middle of the night?
That's just when things.
You know, I've just been watching. As a matter of fact, the last thing I watched on the TV was Moonstruck. Hmm. This was right after we had Mary Jo Pell on a couple weeks ago, and her and Dave began planning their Moonstruck-inspired night at the opera.
Yeah.
So Kim and I watched it. It was tremendous.
What do you think?
I gotta say, I mean, that movie was in the late 80s. So I was like a young teenager at that point. And so I was very aware of it, but it was like my mom's movie. You know, she was the one into that. So
I never seen it.
Yeah, honestly, it holds up really, really well. And what started to blow my mind is Cher, who was old and inappropriate for her age back then.
How old was she? Like in her 30s?
That's what I'm saying. She was in her early 40s. I'm older now than Cher was in Moonstruck. So that kind of like melted my head for a minute. And Nicolas Cage was fantastic in it.
Yeah. I'll watch it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's I guess that's one of his first ones that started getting him some more. Like I said, it was a mom movie, so now all the moms were starting to, you know, who's this handsome fella?
Yeah.
And it's not the greatest movie ever made, but it really holds up. The humor is good.
Yeah, you know, those older Cage movies they're really interesting. It's almost like a different actor because he's great. Like, he was great right off the bat. Like in Valley Girl and Arizona and stuff.
Right.
But his career path just, like, he became like this mainstream star in the 90s and then started like shitty mainstream movies. And then
his whole thing has been fascinating to watch. And I know we talked about it. I can't wait to see this unbearable weight of immense talent. I forget.
Where he's going to be playing the unbearable weight of massive talent.
Yeah. Right.
Which comes out soon.
Next weekend, April 22nd. I'm already eyeing out which set of tickets I got.
Got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Everybody seems to love it. Kim was just telling me his Ask Me Anything on Reddit.
Someone was sending me screenshots of that. And yeah. It was so funny. He was so cool.
And he was his was more popular than Obama's.
Really?
So he's really riding the wave right now. It's time for
it's the Cage-a-sance.
It's the Cage-a-sance.
What's weird is like he never went away. And I feel like
that's part of it.
But also, like, even when he was making bad movies, I still feel like people weren't like, oh, he sold out, he's doing all these like horrible Hollywood action movies.
His decisions made sense in the context of how public his financial problems ended up becoming, you know, and so it became, he kind of leaned into the fact that his wild spending has now become a story and a part of his narrative. So he's got to do all these movies, but he never, and I enjoy digging into these movies he's done over the last 12 years or so. And he's, even when he quit, kind of, you know, when his heart's not into it, he's still bringing his best effort to it.
And, oh yeah.
You know, and there's that thing that happens when it's him doing his thing, and there's just, he's transcending the role he's playing. It's a Nick Cage vehicle every time. You're always getting the same guy.
CL Doyle 63 says, watch Cage's Pig if you haven't seen it yet. I have not seen that yet. Have you watched that?
No, I haven't.
I think it's like his most recent one.
It's been like last year and a half. Kim watched it. She said it was great. I have a hard time watching movies where they use animals as like the emotional, you know, anchor of a thing. If somebody's all banged up over an animal, like, you know, it's.
I get that. So you didn't like John Wick?
I did. They hit you with it early.
Yeah, like first like 5 minutes, yeah.
And you get your revenge throughout them. And you understand, you know, here's a guy with a particular set of tools to go out and get the vengeance for what the son of a bitch did. Yeah. But that was uncomfortable for sure. I'm like,
oh, first time I watched it, man, I was like, what? Like, no, you can't do that in even the first 5 minutes of a movie.
I know.
But it does make it so much more cathartic at the end when he gets them all back.
Yeah, you know why he's doing it. Even
did you see Mandy? Have you seen that in the Cage movie?
I watched that. It was like a fever dream. I really kind of need to see it again.
John Wick almost.
It really was. And you're like, what? And like, for those that don't know, he's a lumberjack, essentially, right? And his
he lives with his wife, like in the middle of nowhere.
And they get attacked, and she's, I'm not spoiling anything, you know, things go bad, and he goes hell bent for justice, and it's
like the greatest revenge flick.
Yeah,
Kill Bill, I'd say.
Yeah.
So, well, John Wick is also, it's like on par with that, but it's very different from John.
There's a palatability to John Wick. Mandy, you're just, at least the first time I watched it, it's like, what, and like, what is happening? It never goes the way you think. But then he makes a movie like this bad one. I was trying to get you and Dave to do as like the next watch party. It's called Next.
Next, yeah, you're telling us about that.
Where he has some sort of psychic gift where he can see into the future by like a few moments and then play out all the different scenarios. And then he gets kind of recruited by the government to get involved in a situation. It's a horrible movie. It makes no sense. It had an ending that, as I was reading about it after the fact, like people were furious of the cop out of an ending that happened. And I see what they're talking about, but it's in the vein of a Nick Cage movie. Now, 10 years after that movie was made, there's always something to take out of a Nick Cage movie, I guess. Is the thing.
Game of Death said he still loves Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider was my favorite comic book character out of all of them, and having him as the guy is like such a treat. You know,
did you think that was good casting? Nick Cage's Ghost Rider. I don't really know much about Ghost Rider. I mean, I know who he is, but I never read Ghost Rider as a kid.
They gave him the there's two eras of the Ghost Rider. You know, there's the story that took, you know, in the 70s, that original run of the book, and then they kind of brought the character,
right?
They brought the demon back in the 90s, and he was possessing a different person,
right?
And so they gave Nick Cage the guy in the 90s,
Johnny Blaze,
yeah. And played by Peter Fonda in the movie. Which that was a great cast. Yeah. Nick Cage was a little older than the comic book character. That was the only weird thing, because then, like I said, you can't go wrong putting Nick Cage in a movie.
You can't. And, you know, they're, and especially in the Marvel movies, well, like I feel like every franchise is doing this now, but like exploring like multiverse type stuff. And I really, really hope they bring in Nick Cage to be Ghost Rider in the MCU, because it just seems like that would be perfect.
I feel like he's in that generation of it that's sort of been written off, like where they tried to get it right, or they tried it some different things and they didn't work, and that's all pre-Iron Man, right.
But now they're kind of merging all that stuff.
True.
So it seems like they could just, even if it's just for like one scene, just have Nick Cage with that hairpiece.
Yeah. the effects were pretty good in Ghost Rider.
I've seen the second one, because we did our old live riffing show, Movies Are Dumb, we did. Uh-huh. I think that was like one of the last shows we did before everything shut down.
Ghost Rider 2?
Ghost Rider, yeah, Spirit of Vengeance.
I don't even know if I saw that one.
I feel like it was a standalone sequel. Like it's still Nick Cage, but there's like zero continuity with the previous movie.
I might have my I had the original Ghost Rider comic book, issue number one.
Oh, man, I love that cover.
Somewhere.
This, speaking of, yeah, Ghost Rider, I was just looking at that.
Yeah,
this year
it's, like, it's I don't know why he wasn't a big, you know, all my friends were into like Batman and Superman and all that shit. I was like, no, give me the guy on the motorcycle with his head's on fire. That's where the fun is.
It is pretty badass.
And the 90s version, actually, I was going to bring this up before when we were talking about your neighborhood, takes place in Forest Hills, or the original kid that's getting possessed is from the neighborhood.
I mean, Spider-Man is from Forest Hills too.
He's all in the cemetery and everything. All that's a major part of the story.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just now I'm looking at the Ghost Rider Wikipedia page, and I noticed Stan Lee did not create Ghost Rider. I wonder if that's kind of why they've pushed him in the back.
Sure, that's worth researching a little bit.
Because like I feel like every Marvel movie that comes out, like, it always says created by Stan Lee. Even like the ones like I didn't know, like Black Panther, I didn't know he created Black Panther.
I mean, that could be in sort of that executive, not knowing anything but about Black Panther or the history of its development, but you know, he could throw out something in a meeting to say, yeah, let's do this, and then a month later somebody comes back with a fleshed out idea and they're like, okay, go with it. So
yeah,
then,
I mean, I hear Stan Lee did do quite a bit of that, like taking credit for Kirby's work and, you know, other artists and stuff.
That's how it goes. History is written by the winners.
That's right.
You know what, should we try to push Dave on a Nick Cage movie for the next watch?
Yeah, I think so. Or you and I can just do a if he doesn't want to do it, we'll just do a watch party.
That's true. We got our own thing happening here now, Dave. Dave's got Eric Idle. We got Nick Cage movies.
That would be fun. Just Nick Cage watch parties.
Yeah.
We can do them right here on Twitch easily.
I don't see any reason why not. We're around.
People watching, comment if you'd like to watch Nick Cage movies with us. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
All right. What else was I going to? There was something else. We were talking about Mandy, and then we got on a tangent about Ghost Rider.
That would all be under the Nick Cage umbrella of things.
Yeah. But Mandy, my goodness, watch that.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Cage fight.
Cage fight. You messaged me earlier that Elon Musk is sitting on the board of Twitter, or he was going to.
It's been I was curious about all this just always because Dave got kicked off. I always want to see any kind of development that might potentially get Dave Hill officially back on Twitter if he were to want to. But yeah, it was weird. Elon Musk is in some weird kind of power play lately, and he bought his way into Twitter with like a huge, like, I believe he was at like 9 or 10%, somewhere in that neighborhood, and then they announced he was going to join the board. I believe it was supposed to be yesterday he was officially going to join the Twitter board and executive board. But then
what would that mean? He can just be like, yeah, let's get Trump back on
you
here.
You know, when you're on the board, you can kind of steer the direction. And he would have a large percentage, you know, if you're on the board with the biggest percentage of an ownership stake. Don't you watch like Succession or Billions?
Yeah, it's, you know? It's creepy. Yeah.
And
so they had too much power.
And so they announced he was going to join the board. And part of the deal was he wouldn't own more than 14.9% of Twitter, which would give him some sort of immediate majority stake in it. Which is like, it was a kind of a poison pill against him making a hostile takeover.
Oh God.
So then it was announced yesterday, he's not joining the board now after a background check, which was to be expected. Not that the background check, the way they worded the announcement was strange. The background check did not preclude him from joining, but the Parag mentioned some of the things that they were going to have to do to get him officially on the board, and it sounds like they didn't want to do the work. Maybe Elon said, it's all right, you don't have to worry, I don't want to do it. Or maybe they found something that they didn't like and they said, I'm sorry, you cannot join our board.
It just seems like a really bad idea to put the like the world's richest man in charge of Twitter.
I've had this, I mean, I've had this ongoing conversation with a couple friends, and one of them is a real Elon fan.
Really?
And
people who are fans of his?
Yeah, in, you know, the business sense, and you know, being an innovator and really pushing things, and all, you know, this is secondhand from somebody else and their opinion of him. One hand, I can take him or leave him. It, you know, I know he's doing big things, but it doesn't really affect my day to day. I still got a chicken with a swollen ass.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, like, I always, you know, I knew who he was, but he's been so, like, public the past few years. It's, like, impossible to escape. But, like, before that, I knew nothing about him until, like, he hosted SNL.
Yeah, he was a part of the team that developed PayPal, made the big money there, and, you know, took it in a couple other different directions. I think he wants to be, like, one of the first people to Mars. You know, I think he wants to repopulate Mars. I think he's part of the original batch that...
And just leave us all to die here.
Yeah, you know.
Leave the rest of humanity on Earth.
You know, taking humanity out, spreading the virus. But anyway.
There seems to be quite a bit of enthusiasm for our Nick Cage idea.
Okay.
Pair the films for a cage match. That's...
I think somebody else is doing that.
Okay.
But there's definitely...
Bring out the dead. You know what? Bring Out the Dead's one of the few Scorsese movies I've never watched. We'd have to do that one.
Huh. I don't know that one.
It's, yeah, it was like a late 90s Scorsese movie. I think it's like, it's only like 90 minutes long or something like that, too.
It's
like
short for him.
It's one of his shorter movies. 99. Yeah. That's a good one. Let's put that one on the list. It seems like everyone's totally into it.
All right.
So we'll talk offline. And,
yeah, we'll start putting something together.
Does your friend Leah Zeppelin asks, does your friend also like Joe Rogan and Jordan Peterson?
Yeah,
he does.
Yeah. it's a colorful conversation that I have ongoing with some high school friends.
Yeah,
and we're spread around the country, but we like to lean into our ways, I guess you could say. So I'm the burnout out in the country who's just like, "What's up, man?" You know, yeah, while they're out there fighting the good fight for freedom.
I feel like pre-pandemic, you know, I'm never a fan of Rogan's, but like I've watched like videos every now and then, and I thought it was funny, but it was like,
yeah,
there were moments where I was like, oh, this is like an interesting interview.
He was honestly, yeah, I work I'm on a workbench all day, and it was a very convenient and easy show to kind of throw on, and it was cool that it would go on for hours. I was used to that, like doing the Dave Hill thing for 3 hours. A 3 hour conversation was easy for me to hang with. And you have Tom Papa, who we've had on a couple
like
times.
Jim Don,
he was on the same week that we had him on here, and he's got good stuff. But like you said, pre-pandemic, it was all like fun.
Right.
But then, you know,
he lost his freaking mind.
That's
another guy. So like, given too much power, like that Spotify deal, just,
you know,
probably the dumbest decision he could have made.
I was a little disappointed that I understand somebody gives you $100 million for dicking around, you're gonna take it. But you know
responsibility that comes with that, like, just
it's unavoidable. You could walk around and say, I'm just gonna do what I gotta do, and I'm free, and that's that. No, but it would. That at $100 million, they own you, and your ass is now in the firing line. So that's what it cost you. In reality, it's not the money, but the
Brutes of the Hound and that awful nip of photo of Joe Rogan.
Brutal. He's got I know exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah, it's like him getting out of it. I've texted that to Dave once, and he got really upset.
I could see that. That's aggressive. That's an aggressive move to do on somebody.
It's Game of Death said, I worked with Rogan just before the pandemic hit. I think he's a good guy, but has some bad influences. Yeah, I think that's...
Yeah.
I think he's like...
I mean, he's been around forever, and back in the day, I think you were probably... I mean, Opie and Anthony is where Joe Rogan, like, figured out, oh, this is some shit that I can do.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were kind of a vicious, rough room as well.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting to see Rogan develop this. I mean, he only started smoking weed about, like, I think 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. so he's one of these guys who got, you know, he gets turned on. He's like, no, you don't know what's really happening, man. Now I get it. I tripped on DMT and ayahuasca.
Right. So, like, you know, like the experiences you and I had as, like, 19-year-olds, you know, gave us a perspective on the world probably, like, much earlier than that. But I can like see what you're saying, like, someone in their mid-30s, like, I'm gonna start smoking weed, and then being like, oh, this is what it is. And it does make you think differently about the world. So I think that's probably his downfall, was getting into drugs
a little bit maybe, you know.
Or weed.
Either you get in early or you don't get in at all. I got a friend, 50 years old, he just started smoking weed last year.
Yeah, I've known a few people who only started recently.
It's almost annoying because he's all giggly and he's still in the, like, his toddler phase of getting high, and you can't even, like, talk to him. He's gone, and I'm still, like, pounding for more, trying to get to where I need to be.
Right, right.
You know, he's already asleep.
No, I mean, with it becoming more, way more accessible, I think a lot of older people are trying it for the first time.
Is it as bad in the city as they're saying? We're like, the people, you know, oh my god, you can't walk down any city street and it's all you smell and it's the worst, blah blah blah. Is it that bad or not bad?
It's not bad, but yeah, it's everywhere. Like, yeah. I live on a quiet street in Forest Hills, and even when I walk outside, it's I walk down to Austin Street, which is a pretty busy street, and there's always someone walking down that street smoking a joint. It's crazy. It's just like clockwork now.
Yeah. I mean,
I was in Manhattan a couple weeks ago, and there's just, you just see groups of kids just passing joints around. I mean, it's
kind of like it was good, back in the, it's like it was 30 years ago, though. Like, I remember that being the situation then. And then, you know, I guess you had the Giuliani era cleaning it all up for a while.
Yeah. But it's not like, you know, I know other people who don't like that, like just smelling weed everywhere they walk.
Yeah.
But I don't mind it.
Yeah, you know?
It's not a bad thing. And also, like, they haven't started selling it here in New York. Have they started selling it in Jersey?
No, it's been a debacle. And it's been voted in as, you know, the...
Yeah, like 2 years ago.
The people want it, but I won't get into the politics of it, but they have to have enough supply. They're almost ready for medicinal facilities to start selling recreational also.
Yeah.
But there's a commission that was created, and part of the commission's job is to make sure that there's more than enough supply for the medicinal market to get theirs supply first. And then what's left is what can go to the recreational market. And so they're having a meeting, I think tonight or tomorrow in the state. Yeah, tonight. It could be happening any moment.
Same thing is probably going to happen here in New York, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, Jersey, all these towns, like, we pay attention to how it's kind of shaking it. Like, our super little town, but as far as, like, somebody wanting to open a weed business, this place is a shitty town to try to think about doing that. You know, we got 3,000 people here, but everybody's falling all over themselves in town to make sure that they're not going to have the drugs in town, and I don't want them having a I don't want them growing it over here. That smell is incredible. Like,
you know, my parents live upstate New York. Yeah. Well, not up upstate, but in near New Paltz, which is a big college town. And I think New Paltz is already voted to, like, they're fine because it's a college town. They're going to make a shit ton of money.
Sure.
But there's other small towns up there that are very conservative.
Provincial, yeah.
And they're like, no, if we have a dispensary, it's going to bring in crime and sleepiness.
Yeah, you know, it's
Which there have to be, like, studies that prove that that's not what happens. Like, I don't think Austin Street's going to turn into, you know, Times Square in 1975.
The just say no and war on drugs has done more to, like, misinform and uneducate.
Oh yeah,
you know, the reality of all kinds of things. So it's disappointing.
Yeah,
but we'll get there. I just want to buy a joint on the way.
Well, you know, in Queens, there's, like, all these smoke shops, like bodega / smoke shops, and, like, they're just selling weed now.
I heard that there was a cart outside the Barclays Center.
Yeah.
At a basketball
game. Yeah, I saw a guy in a cart with like a ton of edibles in the village.
How is that actually legal, or is it just that the police are
It's not. I think the police, what are they going to do? You know, it's not... I don't think it's worth their resources to arrest someone for selling a legal substance. You know, it'd be like going after kids selling bottles of water on the street in the summer, you know?
So it's been, it's been like decriminalized. So like
it's decriminalized, yeah.
Yeah, like right now in Jersey, I can drive around with 3 ounces of weed and they can't, as long as I'm not actively consuming it, you know?
Right.
Like a six pack, it's essentially, you know, like booze, as long as you're not involved in it at the moment, that's not a crime anymore, which is great.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only reason why it was illegal, was so that they could arrest people. That's it.
Yeah.
It's insane. But yeah, I'm glad things are opening up and, but yeah, again, like the bodegas around here, like you just walk in, you can get pretty much anything.
Leah Zeppelin saying something here though, that Seattle's a socialist hellhole since legalizing.
I think she's being, I hope she's being sarcastic. Yeah, health insurance and got free health for
you people. Know. I just found out that the student loans repayment has been pushed back again.
I saw that, yeah.
To August now.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that they keep that going, because that would be fantastic.
I mean, it's one step closer to just erasing it completely.
You know.
I've never been to Seattle. Seattle was like the first state to legalize it, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Seattle's a city, Washington.
Right.
You know.
When I was in Portland like 2.5 years ago, and I feel like it had just...
Brag a little, why don't you?
Like all the dispensaries like had opened by that point, but it was like still relatively new. But it's awesome. Like I love being able to like relax and shop and ask questions and smell different samples. It's an experience.
That's the allure. Somebody went up in a Cape Cod area over the summer, and I was hearing like they just went on a crawl from one shop to the next shop to the next shop. Just
That's the other thing. In Forest Hills, there's already a medicinal dispensary, a Pure Leaf dispensary.
They're growing. They got a factory on Route 22, 5 miles from my house. That's loaded to the gills right now with weed, and that in itself, it's a former Walmart or Kmart or
something. Wow,
and they just re-rigged it, and here we are.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing. I really never thought I'd see it. And my dad too. Like both my parents are total potheads.
Couple old hippies.
Yeah, and nice. They're just like, we never thought that this would ever happen. They also didn't ever see something like Trump happening. But
crazier. Some things are just strange world.
Yeah. Weed. What else should we talk about that Dave would have zero interest in?
I can give you a sports minute. The Mets have started the season 3-1. The Yankees suck.
Are you a Mets fan?
Yes.
See, I was raised, I don't really care one way or another, but I was raised a Yankees fan, so I always have to side with the Yankees. Even though I'm from Queens.
I understand that. That's a little effed up. you are from Queens, or living in Queens at least.
Yeah.
So, but we'll let it slide. It's going to be a good long season.
Wait, so the Mets are doing well?
It's first four games of the season. Okay. I guess they're playing now. We'll see how things are going when I get out of here. But I have a sport. My wife doesn't care about sports at all, but I'm allowed to give her a sports minute update every day. If there's anything going on, I call it. And now for your sports minute, and she has to listen and engage and interact, and take an active part in this. Because it's getting harder and harder to meet sports fans. What that's worth, maybe I was hanging out at WFMU too long, and now working in the piano shop, people don't care about sports there. But like, I meet somebody, I'm meeting people in town here. I'm like, hey, you like sports? You're like, not really so much. So I'll watch the Jets
I know that that conversation that you have with your wife is very similar to like something crazy in like the Marvel universe will get announced. Like, and I'm so excited. I'm like, I just like, I have like after like Moon Knight, first episode of Moon Knight came out, I'm like, all right, it's crazy. And there's all like, I don't know what's going on. And Oscar Isaac has this weird accent. And like, and she'll just listen and it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. We watched the first two episodes. There's only been the two episodes so far.
There's only been two. Yeah.
Yeah. I've enjoyed it. She's punching out after the second episode. She's really, like, I don't care.
I think it's awesome. And they've screened the first four episodes for critics already. So critics are already saying by the end of the fourth episode, like your mind truly will be blown.
Okay. I don't know anything about this character at all.
Me neither. I never read Moon Knight. I mean, I knew who he was just from like the trading cards and stuff, but I never followed that character.
I'm enjoying it though. It's I'm along for the ride.
Kurt, can we get Trace and Frank Stone for next week's shorts? Well, that would be bad if we got them Stone next week because the show is tomorrow.
That would be on point,
but we can get them Stone tomorrow and they'll forget, and then the following week
they'll show up next week.
Frank is like 35 years sober. He's not going to smoke. Trace, I think Trace does. He's not a pothead by any means, but he's made quite a few references to weed during the show.
He speaks the lingo.
Yeah. He's had some indica and sativa jokes and stuff. Like he knows. Yes. Kelly Deb asks, what does Dez do at the piano shop?
Yeah, I was just going to type back. I work a bunch of stuff, but inside the piano, all the hammers, all the keys, all the key work, stuff like that. It's weird. I got a good thing going on working for a good family. And
do you tune them at all, or is it
no? Well, I've tuned a couple, but that's part of like the bigger. You're like, we rebuild them and refinish and restore.
Oh, nice. Right. So they bring in a tuner after all that.
Yeah. And, you know, the piano gets like tuned five times by the time it gets delivered to somebody's house. We sell, you know, a lot of it's cool. It's good stuff. Like, you know, I got pianos and chickens and Dave Hill and, you know, it's not a bad life at all.
No, not at all. You know what? We only have a few minutes left. I'm going to put the StreamYard link in the chat again. Anyone who wants to hop on the show real quick for a few minutes, please have clothes on or don't, whatever.
I mean,
it depends.
It really does.
I don't even know why I brought that up, but if you guys want to show up on camera, there's a StreamYard link. All you got to do is click it and we'll throw you on.
We do have a mandatory clothing check before every episode.
luckily, StreamYard
rule though.
Yeah, we can take a look at, you know, I can see the person before we throw them on the screen. So
okay, that's good.
Game of Depths asks, you get hammered at work?
You know, the puns never end. You know, I can't tune a piano, but I can tune a fish.
Oh, there they are.
You know?
Hey, Elvira.
There he is.
Hello, you fine folks. How are you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. We actually can see and hear each other. It's a rarity.
How are things in the Great North?
Things are actually going pretty good. I've been over at the Fitzgerald Theater. I got to work with the Who's Live guys. Greg Proops was lovely.
Oh,
Joel
nice.
Murray continues to be a fantastic Joel. Also worked with Delamitri last night, Scottish band that
Delamitri. They had like that one big hit in the 90s, right?
And then when you hear a play, it's like, oh, that's them. Oh, that's them. Oh, that's them.
Now, holy shit, I'm at that show.
One of the guy, their opener was actually one of their guitarists, and he also played with Adam and the Ants and The Dam.
Oh, nice.
And it's just been a really good place to do good work. It's, the place used to be owned by Minnesota Public Radio. Okay. And then it transferred ownership over to First Avenue nightclubs. Okay. And First Avenue had a questionable history of treatment of women. Yeah, and but as we're coming back, they've been really mindful about making it a safe place to work and having more positive, proactive techniques of preventing abuse and reporting abuse. So good. It just feels like a safer place to work instead of the constant churning machine that would go whether or not the people could hold on to it or not, you know. The flesh must be fed into the machine kind of concept. And now there's just a more mindful return to the work, and it's just really nice. And what I'm hoping to do is start a mashup of like comedians and musicians and storytellers doing kind of their own nights, kind of one-offs there, bouncing off of each other and creating new work. So, and I'm giving agency to care, which is a huge thing when it comes to going back to work.
For sure.
Gotta have work.
Gotta have work and want to do good work and work that you're proud of and work that you would want your kids to be able to do. That became easy to find of how I treat people. It's like, how would I want somebody to treat my daughter? And it becomes a real just cut and dry situation of how you treat people. And it's beneficial for all involved.
It's a lot of jobs. A lot of jobs where you don't want your daughter doing anywhere near it, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I brought her. They needed a spotlight operator for a show, and I was like, I can do it if I can bring my daughter.
Okay.
And it was a drag show, and she had a great time. In fact, last night she had a conversation with my wife about sexual preferences of animals and if they could, and identities of animals as gender, if there could be non-binary animals. So it's kind of good to have her ask those questions and be kind of very simple matter of fact about it and not phased by it as we've been trained to be phased by it.
Sometimes, like, a dog's going to sniff an ass, and it doesn't matter whose ass it belongs to. It's about the ass. That's it. You know?
It's all about
that. And one of the best things I've ever done was the first game console I ever got my kid was a Nintendo 2DS with a Mario Maker stamped onto it. And the idea is that we play the games that we make. And we also happen to play games that other people make as well. But it gave a different format of how we approach the games. And also, we talk about when we're in control and when a game is in control. And it gave her an ability to communicate emotional manipulation.
Ooh.
So.
Sorry.
There's on that note,
Elvira.
Hey, if anybody wants to hear me more, I'll be over at gameofdepth.com playing some bass ukulele. Thanks, guys.
Bye, Elvira.
See you later, Elvira. You know, Elvira, in a certain sense, has become the new Ing Dave, who Ing Dave always opened the old show back in the day. Now Elvira seems to always close the
new show. Where is Ing Dave? We need Ing Dave back on the show.
Ing Dave is not... I hear Dave says that he hears from him. He checks in once in a while. And Dave is doing well at last report. But he's not going to be a Twitch consumer. That goes without saying.
Right.
Holding Dave. But I do miss him myself. It was.
Yeah, I mean, just he brought a lot to the show.
He brought everything. He brought everything.
All right, you ready to sign off here?
Yeah, let's go figure out a Nick Cage movie we can watch.
Yeah. Right. Thanks, everyone, for watching. We had people hung out the whole night.
Absolutely. Great to see everyone.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great night. If you would like to help support this show, you can do that with a donation on Venmo at The Dave Hill. If you'd like to help support this podcast via Maximum Fun, you can head to MaximumFun.org/join to become a member and throw all your support behind the Dave Hill Good Time Hour. I think Max Fun Drive is coming up in like a couple weeks.
I saw that, yes. I got the memo.
So that's going to be fun. We got to plan.
Guess we got to do something, huh?
I hope Dave's around. But maybe that's when we can debut our cage.
Uh-oh. synergy. Hello.
All right, everyone. Thank you.
We'll talk to you later, people.
We'll see you next week.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.